truths about divine healing. Hebrews 13:8. Listen to what it says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Then Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirit with the word and healed all the sick. And then John 5:14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. I just want to share some truths about divine healing, and this will be part one of maybe a couple of lessons. First thing I want to say is that there's a pattern to everything the Lord does. You know, God is not a spur-of-the-moment God. He's not one to shoot from the cuff. He doesn't have just a last-moment idea. So we learn this in Genesis when we read the orderly and sensible sequential acts. He always did consequently what was necessary and vital to sustain the previous act. He made land and water that was to sustain living creatures put in them. He made the skies above to sustain the flying birds of the air. And he could now put vegetation on terra firma and have a food source for all that creeped on the face of the earth and that flew through the air. So when all these things were done, then he made humankind to be nourished by the previous acts and to have dominion over it. After all, it goes the reason that the Lord would need an earthly caretaker, because he leaves nothing uncared for. So my point is that all the Lord does, he does well, he does by design, he does by pattern, and he does with purpose. And his purposes are made known to us through the scriptures and by the Spirit. The Lord does not do anything and then keep it secret, y'all. He doesn't leave us to guess what's behind the green door or what's his next move. That which God does, he puts in plain view because he wants us to know. So he doesn't leave us guessing. He tells us. He reveals to us. It's called the truth. It's called the holy scriptures. Healing truths are in scripture, and they are valid, they're credible, they're truthful, they're relevant, they're applicable today, as they were when the events and the accounts took place over 2,000 years ago. And if in the Old Testament, up to 3,500 years ago. I said all of that to get to my first teaching scripture, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is eternally the same. And the revelation or the teaching or the disclosure of God in Jesus Christ is final, and it's never to be superseded or supplemented. On to Hebrews chapter 12 and 2. It describes Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith, the consummator of faith. Jesus is the pioneer of personal faith. If you want to know how to get it right and to view it right and follow faith right, you got to look to Jesus. Sounds like to me that we cannot go wrong by examining and learning from the patterns of Jesus Christ. So here's the teaching out of that Matthean text, chapter 8, verse 16. It says, he healed them. The Greek word is therapeo. Sounds like therapy, doesn't it? Therapeo means to relieve, to cure, to remove. And that's what healing is. Healing is the relieving, the removal of that which is diseased. Sounds like disease, doesn't it? Disease refers to something that is not at ease. Ease is creation's norm. Disease is a state of abnormalcy. Creation was at ease. Nothing wrong, nothing hurting, nothing lacking, nothing uncomfortable, nothing painful. But abnormalcy, dis-ease, signals a disturbance, a deviation, a disruption of the created norm. You all with me? Adam and Eve didn't have high blood pressure, strep throat, diabetes, bronchitis, sinus infection, COVID, ulcers. What else y'all got? Thyroid, arthritis, cancer, tumors, cysts, glaucoma, gout. Adam and Eve did not have RSV. One member today told me that he got tested for RSVP as though he made a reservation, but it's RSV. None of the previous plagued humankind. Somebody say, until sin, Genesis chapter 3. And furthermore, these things will continue to plague humanity until Revelation 22. And all the abnormalities and diseases, we're reminded in that Matthew 8, verse 16 text, they're not limited to one's physical condition. They said that they brought the demon possessed, and Jesus drove out the spirits of demonic possession and healed them. So, you've got to include in behavioral disorders, mental disease, psychological disorders. You got to loop all of that in. And to that, Jesus steps into the world that his Father had created perfect. He and the Father, one, they both were there in the beginning. And he comes as the healer with a purpose of healing. Are y'all listening to me? So if healing is defined as the removal and the restoral to a state of normalcy, then let's add a third consideration. Let's add reassessment. Let's add reevaluation. Because after healing, what now shall be one's life? Look in John 5. You know that story. Jesus healed a man who had been at the pool, and he told him to pick up his bed and walk, and the man got up and walked. Well, by verse 14, Jesus bumps into this fella later at the temple, and Jesus says to him, "See, you are well again. Listen to this. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." So there is the expectation of reassessment on the part of the man. What was wrong with him? He got it removed. He got restored. But now, dude has to do some reevaluation. Isn't this a timely message, at least for the teacher tonight? I like what Ann Simmons calls me, the master teacher. And isn't this a timely message for others who have been healed and are in the need of being healed again? Perhaps the greatest need for us is to reassess, reexamine, to reevaluate, to pause, step back, and see what it is that we need to stop doing, never do again, things we need to start doing, and continue to do. Because Jesus tells the fella, now you're healed now, don't you go back to doing what it was that got you in that state, or the next time it may be worse. Are you listening? So I propose that when we are sick, when we're not at the top of our game, when we are sidelined, when you have to stay at home and go from room to room like I've been doing since Saturday, that you have time, glory to God, to take a good look at the aspects of your life, your habits, your nutrition, your lifestyle choices, your surroundings, your maintenance routines, things as simple as changing the dust and air filters. And you know, it doesn't have to be an extreme issue like shooting up or drinking up all the liquor or snorting. You know, it doesn't have to be that. It can be just a simple sickness that you're trusting God to restore you to health again, that you apply these words: stop doing what you might have been doing that you shouldn't have been doing to get you in this condition, because it may be worse if you allow it to happen the next time. Hallelujah.